We all need a quiet center to balance us, to get us in perspective. We all need a quiet center.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halyk. What a joy to be with you today. So excited about this passage. I'm here with author and senior pastor Mark Job, lead pastor of New Life Community Church, one church across over 25 locations in Chicagoland and seven international family churches, and bringing you this radio program right out of the heart of our ministry. Pastor Mark, I know that today's message isn't something you just thought of. It's not just a good idea. It's something that's being practiced right here at New Life and lived out. And it's about stress and pressure and bringing peace not just to yourself, but to your city, and making it your issue, and making it, taking responsibility for your own self to have an impact around you. And New Life has had just an amazing story of how God has honored decisions to step into that mess. Can you share with us how this would be practical for someone listening today, how maybe we've seen it happen?
Absolutely. Especially if you live in the city of Chicago, this message is going to hit a chord with you. In fact, Joshua, just last week, we had the mayor of Chicago here in our building at our New Life Midway building. And he looked at the pastors that were gathered there and he said, you know what? What is happening in our city, he was referring to the violence. He said, City Hall can only do so much. This isn't a policing issue. This isn't just a educational issue. This is a spiritual issue. There is a spiritual emptiness in Chicago that we cannot meet. And I thought, you know, he is right. We, as the people of God in this great city of ours, we have the power to start to bring the shalom of God. I mean, it really bothers me that Chicago is known for its violence and for the homicide rates that we've seen over the last couple of years. And I believe that this is not just, we can't just look at the government and say, what are you going to do about it? Or City Hall. I believe that we are the agents of peace. And so in this message, you're going to see that it's not just about personal peace, but we have a God-given responsibility to bring the peace of God to the places that we live in.
And there's some people who believe that, take that on as a reality, and there's some who don't, who say, you know, I think it's time to move. It's just, it's time to go. It's time to get out of here. And this passage, I mean, it talks to people who couldn't leave.
Yeah. And maybe some of you are here right now and you feel like, hey, I can't leave the city. I hate the city. I want to get out of the city. And could I just challenge you to love the city while you're here? Embrace the city. Can I just challenge you to say, hey, God has me here for a reason, not just for the job, but maybe there's a bigger purpose than just my job. Maybe God has a purpose for me to help bring the shalom of God to the city in which we live.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Well, this message is going to take us right down that road. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29, and it's called Getting the Big Picture.
Martha felt disconnected, and then she fell into the self-pity trap. Notice what she says. She said, Lord, don't you care? So first of all, God, I don't even think you care. Don't you see that I'm stressed out? You don't care. And look, my sister is not doing her part of the job, so tell her to do something. The self-pity party is like, no one cares. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that does work around here. Everybody else, everybody's lazy. I'm the only hard worker. Everybody else doesn't carry their part of the job. You know what? Self-pity is one of your worst enemies. Because self-pity will blind you to the needs of the people that are around you. Because all you're thinking about is poor little me. You ever gotten in a little self-pity mode? Curl up on a couch. Oh, poor me. People don't call me. Think about me. You curl up on a couch in a semi-fetal position. You get a half a gallon of chocolate ice cream and you sit there watching reruns of I Love Lucy and eating your ice cream, talking about poor little you and how the world is so bad and people don't do their part. And you're kind of licking your wounds and wishing other people would really be as responsible as you are and how bad life has treated you. And other people, once you die, you just think they're going to say nice things about you at your funeral. That's what you're thinking. It's a bad place to go. Self-pity never helps anybody out. And it puts you in the position of a victim. Absolutely. It puts you in the position of a victim. It doesn't help anybody out. So, and here's what happens with self-pity. Hear me well. Self-pity will eventually give way to anger. See, it starts with self-pity, but eventually the self-pity will give way to anger and resentment, because self-pity says, woe is me. And then after a while it says, who's causing me this pain? Someone is. You're the person. And it's going to give way to anger, and pretty soon self-pity will start lashing out at people around you. So if you're in a self-pity mode, get ready, because anger's the next thing to follow. So Martha is in this self-pity mode. And by the way, self-pity even questions the love of God. Jesus, don't you care? If you're in a self-pity mode, God, don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through, God? I mean, don't you care? Because when you're stressed, it isolates your emotions. And here's the other thing, by the way, about stress. You may have noticed this sometime. Have you ever noticed that when you're stressed, you want someone else to be stressed with you? Have you noticed that? For example, if you are at home and you're taking care of some toddlers or some kids, and they're really misbehaving and things are going bad and things are pretty chaotic at the household, you keep telling your kids, wait till dad comes home. Wait till dad gets home. When dad gets home, wait till dad gets home. And then dad walks in the door and you say, these boys have been, you know, these guys, they've done all this, and you're stressed out. And he says, honey, they're just boys. Boys? They're criminals in the making. I mean, they're going to be, these aren't boys. These are, and you know, and if he's calm, listen, ladies, if he's calm, you want to stress, you feel like if he's calm, it's not right that he's calm and you're not. And so you say, and that's all you're going to do? You're not going to do something about these boys? You're not going to, you know, no, honey, just settle down. Relax, don't tell me to relax. I'm going to, you know, and you go on and find, if he's not responding, then you change tactics. And now you say, well, I'm going to press some other triggers. And you call yourself a father. And finally, you get them so stressed. Okay, where are those boys? Let me do something. And now you feel okay because you're both stressed out. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? I mean, that's the way it works. Because you feel like the other person is not with you unless they get stressed out. And you want other people to be stressed out with you to feel like, hey, you know the severity of this problem. Martha was stressed out. She looked at Mary, who wasn't stressed out, and she felt like she needs to feel some of the stress that I'm feeling as well. And that's how negative stress deals with us. And fourthly, lastly, it causes us to direct our anger towards the people that are closest to us. My sister has left me to do all the work. Tell her to help me. You can almost sense that aggravation in her voice, that demeaning, that anger towards her sister. She's left me to do all this work by myself. I want you to hear me well, because this is super important. Listen, when you're stressed out, and it eventually leads to anger, and some of us live on the edge of anger, when you're going from 60 in your emotions to 90, where it doesn't take much to set you off, it means that you're living on stress or uncontrolled anger. And I'm going to tell you who you're going to hurt. You're going to hurt and lash out at the people that are closest to you. That's the way it works. You see, it may have been your boss that started the stress, and it may be related to the demands of your work and your boss. But while he's out there golfing on his 18th hole golf course, you're out there lashing out at your kids who you love and saying angry, nasty things to your husband that has nothing to do with why you got stressed out. Do you understand? That we're lashing out at the people that are closest to us, and sometimes the very root of our stress is left undealt with. And so Jesus looks at Martha in this condition, and he gives her some words that are just life-changing words. And if you can relate to some of the causes of stress some of the symptoms of stress that I've been talking about, unhealthy stress, then I have a word for you. You need to really listen up, because this is super, super important. Jesus, what Martha wanted from Jesus was relief from her stress. I think what he wanted Jesus to do is recruit volunteers for the workforce. I think she wanted Jesus to say, okay, Martha's stressed. Any volunteers here to help in the kitchen? Because, you know, she could really use some help. I think that's what Martha wanted. But you see, Jesus knew that this was not just an organizational issue. This was not about the event. This was about a heart issue. So Jesus speaks straight to the hard place. I love that about Jesus. He goes right to the hard places. And he says to Martha, 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 you're worried and upset about many things. Listen to what he says in verse 43. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Only one thing is needed. One thing? Yeah, there's not three. It's not the seven habits of highly effective people. No, no, no. This is one thing is needed. One thing? Wow, if it's only one thing, it must be really, really important. One thing is needed to balance your life. One thing is needed to put things in order. One thing is needed to get perspective. One thing is needed to diffuse your stress. One thing is needed to make sure you're valuing the important things and not just the urgent, immediate attention things. Only one thing is needed. But here's the thing. Unless you get this one thing right, everything else is going to be out of perspective. I've used this illustration before, but have you ever tried to get dressed in the dark? You know, once in a while, I'm trying to be considerate, don't want to turn on the light, so I try to get dressed in the dark. And have you ever noticed if you get the first button wrong, all the other buttons are wrong as well? But finally, get out, you know, get to the light. It's like, hey, what's wrong here? This shirt looks, well, I got one button wrong, but if you get the first button wrong, all the other buttons that follow it will be wrong as well. You see, you got to start with the first right button. What is the one thing that is needed that sets it all? You look and you say, well, what is it? Well, Jesus doesn't even say what it is. Well, he does, but he doesn't. He doesn't verbally say what it is, but he points to a picture. And a picture is worth 1,000 words. He points to the picture of Mary. Mary, it says, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, close to the feet of Jesus, and she was listening to his words. In the midst of the chaos and the turbulence, she was receiving and hearing the words that were nourishing her heart and her spirit.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Getting the Bigger Picture, which is from our series called Stress, Calming Down Without Cracking Up. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark and his message entitled Getting the Bigger Picture.
Hear me well. Listen. The one thing that's needed in our life, we all need a quiet center to balance us, to get us in perspective, to help us remember we're north, south, east, and west is in our life, to recalibrate our direction. We all need the quiet center. And what happens in the quiet center? It's a quiet center where you can turn down the loud music. You can shut out the busy voices of life and the goals and the pressures and the demands of work and everything. And you quiet down enough, you rest your spirit enough that you're able to hear the gentle, strong, firm, quiet, powerful voice of your Creator speaking to your heart words that put life in perspective. It's a quiet place. You say, well, Pastor, are you saying that God talks to us? Absolutely. Absolutely. Inaudible voices? Well, I'm not talking about audible voices. I think there's medication for that. But I mean, God can if he wants to, right? But I get a little leery of too many people are telling God spoke out loud and he had a German accent or a Puerto Rican accent. You know, I get a little nervous about that. But I think the voice of God, I think the voice of God is a voice that speaks clearly to our spirit and our soul. It's not doesn't have to pass through your ears, but it comes to the ears of your spirit. And he speaks to you through the word. He speaks to you through worship. He speaks to us when we're quiet enough to listen. Most of us don't hear the voice of God because most of us aren't quiet enough to hear him. Most of us are Marthas, busy with life. And although he's there and he's speaking, you see, Jesus was speaking, but Martha wasn't hearing him. He was in the house and he was speaking words of life, but she was so busy that although he was speaking, she wasn't hearing. Mary, on the other hand, was actually hearing the words, the life-giving words of Jesus. Now, I happen to believe that if the story continued on, that Mary would have finally got up and she would have helped as well, because I believe there's a balance between action and works, listening, meditation, and works. And I don't think we always listen. We listen and then we get up and we do something, right? But here's the thing. I believe that many of us spend a lot of our life so busy, our head is so cluttered, there are so many voices, that we seldom stop to say, I want to connect with God. I want to be quiet. One of the things that I love to do every day, and I make it a practice every day, to have what some people call a quiet time. But really, it's just a time to stop, pause, and say, I'm going to read a passage out of, I love the Psalms, and sometimes it's a Psalm, sometimes it's another, but the Psalms are just prayers. And just say, God, speak to me today. I want to get perspective. And there's something about having a time, quiet time with God that puts things in perspective. I'm not in control. He's God. He's the master. And you pray, you listen, and it helps you throughout the entire day just gain perspective on life. It's a quiet time close to Jesus, speaking in your heart where you're listening. Some of us, because we don't have that, our life is spiraling out of control. You're on the edge. You're stressed out because you seldom sit and hear the voice of God. I believe God speaks as he's a father. I have three children. I love to talk to my kids. They're in their teenage years, so sometimes I'm wondering if they're listening or not. But I love to talk with them. If they want to listen, I love to talk with them. If I'm an earthly father, how much more does my heavenly father want to connect with his children? To those that are willing to listen and seek him and hear his voice, he has something to say to our spirit. And when we have that quiet time and when we're willing to disconnect and be quiet and hear the voice of God and allow God to speak to our heart through his word, then I believe a couple things happen in our life. I'm going to list them really quickly, four things. I believe that finding a quiet place to listen to the voice of God, drawing close to Jesus. And as we draw close to Jesus, sometimes he's going to cause us to change things in our life. You cannot grow close to God through Jesus without him asking you to change things. That's just a natural consequence. But I think you'll find four things happen in your life. Number one, finding that quiet place helps you release the things you have no control over. I told you last week, you know, anxiety comes from trying to control things that we can't control. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Listen, there are things that you need to release and realize I have no control over them. In fact, the truth is you have very little control over most things. There are only a few things in life that you can actually control. You can't control your spouse, and you can't control your kids, and you can't control the weather, and you can't control the stock market, and you cannot control whether the Cubs win or lose, or the Sox win or lose. You cannot control those many, many things in life you cannot control. And some of us spend a lot of time trying to control things that we cannot control, and we just should admit, I can't control it. Some of you think that the Holy Spirit needs an assistant. I want to be an assistant to the Holy Spirit. You want to change people, but you can't. Here's the thing. The one thing that you can control, the one thing that you are responsible, is your attitude and your heart. The way you respond to God, you are responsible for that. So how you view people, how you respond to God, what you do with your heart, that is your responsibility. God is never going to, when you stand before him one day, God is not going to say to you, hey, how come your wife had a bad attitude? And you go, well, Lord, I tried to change her. No. God's not going to hold you responsible for someone else's attitude. But he will hold you responsible for your attitude and the response that you had to people that had bad attitudes. Are you with me? Are you tracking? God's going to hold you responsible for you. For your heart, your mind, your words, your actions, your thoughts. So we need to release things that we have no control over. Secondly, finding this quiet place helps us put life into perspective. Sometimes we get all bent out of shape over things that really, in the grand scheme of things, are really small. Really, really small. Some of you, those of you that are into cars, maybe your car got a nick in it. It set off your entire month. Oh, my car got a nick. Who did it? My wife probably banged into someone. I know. Opened up the door. I keep telling them not to do that. And how am I going to guard this? And you're all been out of shape over a little nick in your car. A little one. No one even notices it. People can't see it. Been out of shape. Ultimately, that car is going to crash and burn. And ultimately, you're not going to care about it when you're on your deathbed. I've never heard anyone say, I wish I would have taken better care of my car. No, I've never heard that. Never in my life have I heard people talk about their possessions on their deathbed. But listen, I've been at quite a few deathbeds, unfortunately. And I heard a lot of people talk about their relationships and their God. I wish I would have got things right with God sooner. I wish I'd have loved my wife better. I wish I'd have told my kids what I needed to tell them. I wish I'd have spent more time with them. Listen, it's all about relationships and God when it's all said and done. And we sweat over the little things. A quiet center not only helps us release things we cannot control, helps us put life in perspective, it helps us to hear the still small voice that adjusts your life. Do you remember the story of Elijah? He was suicidal, depressed, ready to give up on life, runs to a cave. He's in a cave. There's an earthquake. There's fire. There's a whirlwind. And God is in none of it but the still small voice, like the wind. And he hears the voice of God. God speaks to his heart because he's willing to listen and change the course of Elijah's life because he's willing to hear the still small voice. And lastly, it helps you say no to things that are not the best for you. Listen, it's not just about is it good, but is it best? There's a lot of things in life that may be good but aren't the best. There's a lot of things in life that maybe shouldn't be the priority of your life. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6:33. But seek his kingdom, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. First, number one priority, living for God and his purposes and his kingdom. That should be the center of your life. Is God first in my life? Is God first in my life? Is God and his things first in my life? Listen. And all the other things will be given to you as well. You have to put God first. Some of you say, yeah, I want to put God first, but I really want a husband. And, once I get a husband, I'll put God first. Listen, if you don't put God first, you're not going to get the right husband. Oh, you'll get a man. But I'm talking about the best for you. See, you can get things in life, but if you put the kingdom first, all these other things will follow in the right time, in the right way. They will follow, but put God first. Seek ye first in his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But put the priority of the kingdom first. And that's what the word of God says. Put the priority of the kingdom first.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this was the second half of his message called Getting the Bigger Picture, which is from his current series, Stress, Calming Down Without Cracking Up. This concludes the series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.